rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide, and trembles at his voice, trembles at his voice. How great is our God! Sing with me, how great is our God! Now we'll see how great is our God.
Age to age he stands, and time is in his hands, beginning and the end, beginning and the end. The Godhead three in one, Father, Spirit, Son, the Lion and the Lamb, the Lion and the Lamb.
How great is our God! Sing with me, how great is our God!
Well, on this Resurrection Sunday, we'll continue our study of the various names and titles of God, and we'll see how it connects with the importance of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. The next name in our study is a name that describes for us the Son of God. And in the special song that was sung there, it made mention to this beginning and the end. It is a name that would have no meaning if it were not for the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's begin by reading in Revelation chapter 1 and verses 4 to 8, where Jesus reveals himself to be the Alpha and the Omega. The Alpha and the Omega. Revelation chapter 1 and verses 4 to 8. In the course of the lesson this morning, we're going to consider three aspects of the revelation that we have because of this name. Three revelations, three truths that we can have confidence in and find comfort, knowing that Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega. In Revelation chapter 1, beginning at verse 4, John to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before the throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, reference to his resurrection, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him, even they who pierced him. And all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so, amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Notice in this passage that the name Alpha and Omega have several companion names to go along with this title. The faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, the ruler of the kings of the earth, the beginning and the end, he who is, who was, and who is to come, and the Almighty. All of these names and titles of the Son of God, they go hand in hand. For anyone who may not be familiar with what is the Alpha and the Omega, most of you probably know, but if you don't, Alpha is the first letter in the Greek alphabet, and Omega is the last letter in the Greek alphabet. And so the term came to mean the entirety of something. not just the beginning and not just the end, but the beginning, the end, and everything in between. So when you want to refer to the entirety of something, you would say the Alpha and the Omega. And so this is the thought behind this term, this title, this name of Jesus Christ. Jesus is the beginning and the ending of everything that God has to do with the human race. This is the first aspect of what we're going to consider. Jesus is the entirety of God's plan for the human race. This is how important the gospel of Jesus Christ is. He's the Alpha and the Omega. We also find out in the lesson here that the term Alpha and Omega points to the eternality of God, that He is eternal, that He was from the beginning of time and He'll be there at the end of time, and He was before the beginning and He will be after the end. The entirety of the eternality of the Son of God, the eternal Son of God. He created everything, and everything exists and coexists because of Him. He always was, and He always will be. Then, lastly, we'll consider that this term, the beginning and the ending, speak of how Jesus is the one who began the process of our redemption, our reconciliation with God, and He's the one who will finish it in its entirety. And so we'll look at these three aspects of what this name, this title of Jesus Christ, what it reveals to us, the Alpha and the Omega. First of all, Jesus is the beginning and the ending of everything that God has to say and to deal with the human race. Acts chapter 17. We'll begin there with this aspect. Acts 17, verse 26. Jesus is the beginning and the end and everything in between. Life is about Jesus. Life is about being reconciled to our Creator. And without Jesus Christ, that reconciliation is not possible. Our redemption is entirely founded on Jesus Christ, the person and His work. Acts 17, verse 26. And He has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on the face of the earth, and has determined their preappointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings. Now notice what this is saying. This encompasses all the history of the human race. What's life all about? Why are there different nations, and why are the different events of history? What was behind all of that? Well, we have the simple statements here of the Holy Spirit, verse 27. Why did He order the steps, even the boundaries of the nations, so that they should seek the Lord? Our Creator has a purpose for life, in the hope that they might grope for Him and find Him, though He is not far from each one of us. For in Him we live and move and have our being, as also some of your own poets have said, for we are also His offspring. Therefore, since we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold and silver and stone, something shaped by art and man's devising. Paul speaking here to those who were worshiping idols that they made with their own hands. He said, why would we think that God's like that? In verse 30, truly the times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent, because He has appointed a day in which He will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom He has ordained. And He has given assurance of this to all by raising Him from the dead. Jesus is the beginning and the end and everything in between concerning the reconciliation of man with our Creator. This is the simple, clear revelation of the Word of God. And this term helps us to understand that revelation. The proof that all of God's plans and purposes are bound up in the person and the work of Jesus Christ is that He raised Him from the dead. All of man's history, look at history. What's it all about? God was giving man the opportunity to know his Creator through faith in Jesus Christ. Everything pointed to the coming Redeemer. All of man's history, even the boundaries of the nations as they've changed over time in history, God allowed those things in order that man would have an opportunity to know God through His Son, Jesus Christ, to be reconciled back to to their Creator. Jesus took upon himself on the cross the sins of the whole world. And everything that happens in life, the tragic things, the wars, famine, things that seem so tragic and cruel, why would God allow those things? The good things, the blessings of life, all of it is an opportunity for man to know God. But the only way to know God is through Jesus Christ. That's how important this message is. When God raised Jesus from the dead, it was proof that God accepted the sacrifice of his Son as sufficient to pay the debt of man's sin, to justify those who believe before God and give them not only forgiveness, but to give them eternal life by making them his children. Romans chapter 4, verse 23. Abraham is our example of faith and being made right with God by simply believing the promise that God has made, that promise of eternal life through faith in Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 4, verse 23. Now, it was not written for his sake, Abraham's sake alone, that it, righteousness, was imputed to him, Abraham, but also for us. It, righteousness, shall be imputed to us who believe in him, who raised up Jesus, our Lord, from the dead, who was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised because of our justification. Do you see how important it is for us to believe in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ? Without it, there is no hope for the human race. Without the resurrection of Jesus Christ, there is no joy. There's no peace. There's no understanding of what life is all about. It's just one event after another with no clear purpose. But because Jesus rose from the dead, we understand the plan and the purpose of God. The evidence of the resurrection of Jesus Christ is enormous. Today, even among the religious, there's so much watering down of the truth that Jesus died and that he rose again. There are many that water that down and say, well, that's just an illustration. He didn't really die. He just kind of fainted and then he rose. And then, of course, the world denies it altogether. But the evidence of his resurrection, it's enormous. Start with the Old Testament prophecies about the one that was to come, how that he clearly was going to die. But then he was also clearly going to live to enjoy the benefits of what he accomplished when he died. Those Old Testament scriptures, you can't ignore them. They're real. Jesus' own predictions during his earthly ministry that he was going to die. But don't worry, I'll live again. He himself made that declaration. And then we see the changed lives of his disciples. One moment they are cowering in fear, thinking that they were going to be killed next. Their leader was killed, and now they're afraid they're going to be killed by those same leaders, so now they're hiding. But then something happened. The next moment, they're standing before the very ones that crucified the Lord Jesus Christ or sent him to be crucified and that had the power to crucify them, to stone them, to kill them. And now all of a sudden, those same fearful individuals are declaring the message of a risen Christ. What happened? They saw the risen Christ, and now they knew that nothing else mattered. There is no power greater than the power of God to raise the Son from the dead. And then they began to claim that message throughout Jerusalem. Then there were the eyewitnesses of the time, over 500 at one time. 500 people can't tell the same lie over and over again without somebody messing up, especially when the authorities are going to do whatever they need to get it out of you, what really happened to that body. They have no tomb to point to that is filled with a corpse. No. And believe me, if the enemy, if they had an opportunity to find the body, they were going to do it. There is no body because he rose from the dead. He is risen. Life has no meaning without a relationship with our Creator. It's pointless. That's why there's so much hopelessness in the world, because without knowing God, you can't know why you're even breathing. But Jesus is the entirety of the very existence of man, God's plan for humanity. We come to the Father through the Son. Jesus declared, no one comes to the Father. You can't know your Creator without knowing me first. 1 Corinthians 15, this passage has often been referred to as the gospel in a nutshell. I think that's accurate. We could also refer to it as God's purpose for mankind in a nutshell. 1 Corinthians 15:1, Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel, the good news, which I preached to you, which also you received and in which you stand, by which also you are saved. There is no salvation apart from Jesus Christ. And if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. What is that good news that Paul shared? For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, all the Old Testament prophecies that said he was going to bear the sins of many. Verse 4, and he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Jesus put it this way in his prayer to the Father, as Jesus was contemplating the agony of the cross in John 17. John 17 and verses 1 through 5. John 17, 1. Jesus spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you. As you have given him authority over all flesh. How much? All flesh, all of humanity, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And what is eternal life? Jesus says, this is eternal life, that they may know you, God, our Creator, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, and everything in between when it comes to God's plan of reconciliation for the human race. There is no other way to God. Again, this is not arrogance when we say that. This is not, well, we're smarter than everybody else and that God loves us more than everybody else because we're followers of Christ. Jesus died for the whole world, every man, woman, and child. But he is the entirety of the plan of reconciliation. He is the Alpha and the Omega. The second aspect of this name reveals that Jesus is the eternal Son of God. In John 1 and verses 1 to 5, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. It's essential that we understand that Jesus was both God and man. Again, something that is watered down today. He was a good teacher. He was a good man. No, Jesus was and is the Son of God, who took upon him the form of man. But the Son of God existed before he took on the form of man, from past eternity with his Father. Jesus is the Word that John's speaking about, that he was in the beginning with God. As God, he had no sin. He had a nature that was not tainted with the nature of Adam. And so as the Son of God, he was the perfect sacrifice to die for my sins, because he didn't have to die for his sins. He's the Son of God. But as man, he could represent me as a man, as the head of a new race of men. And so for the plan of redemption to be realized, it could only be by the sinless Son of God, who took upon him the form of man. In Colossians 1, verses 16 and 18, here we see once again how that Jesus, as the pre-incarnate Son of God, existed before he was born as a baby, as a man. Colossians 1, 16 to 18. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. This is talking about the Son of God. All things were created through him and for him. All things. Once again, it goes back to that entirety of God's plan for the human race. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have preeminence. Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He who was from past eternity, he who is forever present, and he who is to come, who will be forever. This is the one we serve. This is our Savior. This is our Redeemer. He was before time began, and he will be when time on this planet ends and eternity future continues on. That's the one that we worship today, the living one. I'm not ashamed to say that I serve the Alpha and the Omega. I'm glad for that revelation that Jesus is forever, and therefore I have eternal life because of the redemption that he provided. Lastly, the name Alpha and Omega reveals to us that Jesus is the one who begins the transaction of our redemption, and he's the one who will finish it. The writer of Hebrews puts it this way, Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, another way of saying that he's the Alpha and the Omega. Hebrews 12 and verse 1. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Again, an exhortation to practical living, saints. Because this message is real, because we serve the risen Christ, our conduct should bring him glory and honor, not shame and reproach by living according to that sinful flesh, but by living in the power of the life of Christ within us, that risen Christ. Verse 2, looking unto Jesus, who is what? The author and the finisher of our faith, the beginning and the end of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Philippians 1 verse 6, Paul writes this, Philippians 1 and verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Saints, this is why I never wrestle with whether I'm actually going to make heaven or not. What if I really mess up before I die? Jesus is the author and the finisher of my faith. Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega. He began this good work in me of grace. He will finish it by his faithfulness, his power. I am kept by the power of God, not by my ability to grit my teeth and make it to the end. He's the beginning and he's the end of my faith, the author and the finisher of my faith. Because Jesus went to the cross to die for our sins and to wash us in his own blood, as we read in Revelation. And because he rose again as the first born from the dead, and because he ever lives to make intercession for me, he is my Alpha and Omega, and I know that this last aspect of my redemption, I'm already redeemed, but there's an aspect of my redemption that is yet to manifest itself, and that is the redemption of this body. One day I will have a glorified body, and that hope grows brighter and brighter as this outward man perishes, as this body, it begins to fail with age. Do I have any amens there from the older ones? Yeah. It begins to fail, but that's not the end of my hope. I will be raised from the dead. Or if I'm alive when Jesus comes, I'll be translated without seeing death, because Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega. Hebrews chapter 7, verses 24 and 25. Hebrews 7, 24. But he, because he continues forever, because he was raised from the dead, has an unchangeable priesthood. Therefore, he is able to save to the uttermost. You know what that means? Completely and entirely. That's how saved I am. I'm saved to the uttermost. Those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. Satan may approach the Godhead and say, look at Doug. Look at what a failure he is. But Jesus intercedes for me, and he says, Father, I had died for Doug. I paid his debt in full. He ever lives to make intercession for me. Thank God for the risen Christ. My redemption from sin and all of its consequences, it's full, it's complete, and it's entire because Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega. I know that final phase of my redemption, that glorified body, it's certain because he is the beginning and the end, the author and the finisher. He's promised that it'll be finished. I will be resurrected. Praise God for the risen Christ.